I'm Joy Jackson, and this is Treasures Old and New from ART. This month, we tip our Stetson to some ART Westerns and ride the range with some of our old friends. Here's Cliff Carpenter and Kevin O'Morrison in a lost episode of Escape. It's one of ART's early recreations from 2005. Let's listen to 1/8 Apache.
Tired of the everyday grind? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all? We offer you Escape.
Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
You are alone with a murderer, a man who has killed your brother, and against whom you have sworn revenge. While unknown to you, your enemy is plotting his own move, which, if he succeeds, will mean defeat for you and an end from which there is no escape.
So listen now as Escape brings you Peter B. Kind's exciting story, 1/8 Apache.
There's something about pulling a man's nose that'll drive him plumb crazy. It's a real low-down, contemptible trick. It'd anger a sheep. A man can walk away from an insult, but pull his nose and he'll go loco. Do all sorts of things he otherwise have more sense to do. And that's what Ty Burgess did to my kid brother. So Jack went for a gun against a killer he was no match for. And Burgess just drilled him nice and neatly. That's why I went looking for Mr. Ty Burgess right after the burial. I rode out of Calico City sundown Thursday last and crossed the desert for trade route, a small mining camp at the southeast toe of Ship Mountain, San Bernardino County. That's where Mr. Burgess would be, I had reason to believe.
Hello there, sir.
Morning, Ed.
Haven't seen you around trade rats in weeks.
Yeah, that's the truth. You seen Ty Burgess around, Ed?
Burgess? No, I ain't seen him, Sheriff. And that's the way I like it.
Thanks, Ed.
Well, ain't you going to come on in and set a spell?
Not right now, thanks. Morning, Sid.
Right, well, sure ain't seen much of you.
How's your wife?
Oh, just fine.
You seen anything of Ty Burgess about?
No, I ain't seen him. Peter Lawless said he was in town, but I ain't seen him. Hey, say, Martha's roasting up. Hey, what's the matter?
Now, who would you say that is going into the pick and drill, Sid?
I'd say it was Ty Burgess.
Yeah, so would I. See you around. Ty Burgess was alone, and that was fine with me. He moseyed up the plank steps and on into the pick-and-drill saloon like he had a lot of time. A real thin, seedy-looking fellow with a narrow face. He gave the impression of being weak. That's what fooled at least five men I knew of. I pushed on into the pick and drill. He was standing at the end of the bar, and the barkeep was just setting him up with a bottle of whiskey.
All right, just leave the bottle.
Good morning.
Huh?
I understand you're Mr. Ty Burgess.
Supposing I am. What's it to you?
Just this. Now, hold on, Mr. Burgess. I wouldn't draw if I were you. You'd look kind of foolish. Unbuckle, Mr. Burgess, and set it on the bar. Only move kind of slow. That's just fine. All right, now, gentlemen, take your seats. You can see just as well without crowding.
Oh, what is this? Who are you?
My tin star tells you I'm sheriff newly elected San Bernardino County named Joe Murdoch. You killed my kid brother, Jack, in Calico City.
It was self-defense. 20 men saw it. 20 men will swear it was self-defense.
You pulled his nose, Mr. Burgess.
Well, that didn't give him cause to go for his leather. You're sheriff. You know that. Pulling a man's nose ain't nothing more than a breach of the peace or something.
Jack weren't a man, Mr. Burgess. He was a kid.
It was self-defense. 20 men will swear.
All right. I didn't come to arrest you, Mr. Burgess. Nothing so foolish.
Well, in that case, I'll just go back to my drinking. Give me another glass, Stan.
Put down that bottle. Mr. Burgess, pay attention. I'm not through talking. That's better. Now, this here call of mine, Mr. Burgess, is strictly unofficial. To prove it, I'll just remove my little star and check this hardware. Now, Mr. Burgess, I'm going to give you the only thing I can under the circumstances. When I get back to the county seat, I'll plead guilty to assault and battery, pay a $5 fine, and vindicate the law, which I am sworn to uphold. Do you understand, Mr. Burgess?
I understand, Sheriff.
Mr. Burgess and I would like to borrow one of your small back rooms to start settling up a personal matter.
Sure, Mr. Murdoch.
Mr. Ty Burgess bled easily. I cut his face with the first good blow, but he had a lot of fight, so the affair was a rather lengthy and interesting one. But when I bounced him off the wall with another blow, Mr. Burgess' knees began to give. I didn't want him down just yet, so I moved to him quickly and worked over his stomach. I could see him turning sick, and then finished up on his face, and he went cold. On your feet. Now, you listen to me, Mr. Burgess. Listen real carefully, because I'm not going to repeat. The grand jury's sitting right now talking about you. They're going to issue an indictment, and I'm going to be given a warrant for your arrest. Naturally, if I got a warrant, I got to serve it, being a sheriff. Are you listening?
I'm listening.
That'd mean I'd have to pull you in, and you'd come up for trial. I have no objection to that, excepting you may be acquitted. To that, I have the most serious objections. I don't want you off scot-free. I want to kill you. Now, I can only do that fair and square, so I'm going to give you a chance.
A chance? What are you talking about?
Just this. I'm going to give you an hour start on a trade rat. Then I'm coming after you, not as a sheriff, but as Jack Murdoch's brother.
Fair and square, you said. You took my gun. I ain't got a rifle like you.
You get your gun back. I'll furnish you with a rifle as good as mine and 1 hour head start.
All right. If you get me then, you're welcome. I won't kick none.
You will when I get you, Ty Burgess. Don't forget you killed my brother.
I don't forget nothing. Not even that licking you just gave me.
That's fine, but that's just the beginning. I'm telling you right now, I'll kill you 100 times before you die.
I don't scare worth a cent. You should know that.
No, how about rattlesnakes? Just the thought of snakes makes you shiver, doesn't it? Now, let me just tell you one thing more. My grandmother was a half-breed Mojave Apache.
So what?
So that makes me 1/8 Apache. 7/8 white man, 1/8 Apache. I'm coming after you not as a white man and a sheriff, but as Jack Murdoch's brother and Apache. When I catch up with you, I'm going to peg you out Apache fashion. Then I get a big rattler, run a buckskin through his tail, stick him out in front of you. Every time he strikes, he'll miss your face by half an inch, and about the time you're three-quarters crazy, I'll pour some water on the buckskin, and it'll stretch just enough.
You would do that, wouldn't you?
I sure would, unless you want to come back to Calico City with me and confess to the premeditated killing of my brother, which it was, in truth, and then I'll be just as pleased to handle the hanging.
I'll take my chance out in the desert.
Fair enough. Come on. Let's get your horses and a rifle. 40 rounds of cartridges and we're even. In exactly 1 hour, I'm following you. After that, Mr. Burgess, you're responsible for what happens.
We'll return to escape in just a moment. But first, help ensure that no call for blood will go unheeded. Whether it's for gamma globulin to control a child's polio or for whole communities in time of disaster, the Red Cross can answer the call only if you have first given blood. Phone your local Red Cross chapter. Make an appointment to give a painless pint to relieve human suffering. And now, back to escape.
A.M. Ty Burgess rode out a trade rat on a stout buckskin bronco carrying grain, grub, and water on the saddle. I took my big Roman-nosed roan, a range pony crossed with a thoroughbred for speed and stamina, onto the feed corral. Watered, fed, and curried him. Next, I made a trip to the supply store, bought some flour, dried beef, and tea. 12 o'clock, straight up. I hooked a 2-gallon canteen of water from the pommel of my Mexican saddle, checked my 30-30 carbine, and mounted my pony. Swung her into a gentle lope and headed off on the trail for Ty Burgess. I just made the edge of Trade Rat when I saw Sandy James loping in from Calico City way.
Joe! Hey, Joe, hold up!
Sandy was a dry, gray little man, bailiff at the county courthouse.
Yeah. Sure, I'm glad I caught up with you.
What brings you in?
I got something for you, Joe.
What is it?
Grand jury got an indictment out for Ty Burgess. I brung you the arrest warrant. Just a minute. Got it right here in my saddlebag.
I don't want it, Sandy.
Thought you wanted, Burgess.
I do.
Well, then I
just hold on to that warrant. I can't serve it as long as you got it, so I can serve Mr. Ty Burgess something else.
Just what you figuring on serving him?
Something real special for the occasion. Now, you just mosey on into Trade Rat and look around for me.
Where are you going?
Wherever these tracks down there take me.
Well, are you getting something again hanging, bringing Burgess in legal-like?
Nothing. But I sure got a lot against letting him go if there's an acquittal.
I've never known you to be against a fair trial.
Not against it one bit. Fact is, Ty Burgess is having a fair trial. Fair as can be.
I see.
Him or me.
Yeah, I guess I see that.
Now, go on into Trade Rat, and
No, I don't think so. I think I'll just go on along with you.
Well, suit yourself. Only don't interfere. It's my fight.
Oh, not me. I'm not the interfering type.
I might warn you there'll surely be a lot of lead slung.
Yeah, well, I guess that as much.
Ty Burgess is no bad shot.
I know that, too. I'll come along.
All right, Sandy, you just joined yourself up with an Apache war party.
Apache?
That's right.
I don't understand.
You will.
Man sure leaves an easy trail, don't he?
Uh-huh.
Well, yes, Trust me, he don't care. He's right, hell fit for the Rio Colorado. Now he's gonna be out of the state before you even get a sight of his dust.
No, I don't think so, Sandy.
Well, you sure don't seem to be in no hurry.
Lots of time. Be dark soon, no sense catching up with him in the dark. Fella needs shooting light.
Yeah, blowing up, kind of windy.
Whoa. Hold up, boy. Yeah. Just look at these tracks, Sandy. Swinging southwest. You see, he isn't heading for Colorado at all. He's got a grudge to settle up with me for beating that I gave him. I was counting on that. He can't leave the state till he settles up the score.
Yeah, you're a thinking man, Joe.
You know what Mr. Burgess is going to do now?
No, I don't.
He's going to swing around the spur of Sheephole Mountain there and go on into Morongo Pass. That's where he'll make his stand.
Well, if that proves so, Joe, I'd say you're uncanny.
It'll prove so. Indian blood says it will.
Huh?
Maybe I never told you. My grandmother was half-breed Mojave Apache.
Oh.
Hold up.
Hey, what's that, Joe? Sam's going to come up.
Yeah.
Coming this way, black as fuel.
Come on, make for the foot.
Drove our spurs into our mountain race for the shelter of the foothills. But the sand cloud spit after it like a dam, biting and stinging and choking out our breaths till it was all fire. Certain it would catch us all full right in the open. Wasn't much man could do, knowing he's going to get caught full in the blast. We dismounted, unsaddled our horses, and killed them. Then pulling the saddles over our heads, we crouched in the lee of the carcasses till the storm blew over. 11 hours later. Next morning, we found a water hole in the Sheephole Mountains and washed up.
Lead slinging, you said. You didn't say nothing about this.
I didn't ask you to come along.
Well, now look at my eyes. Still hot as a branding iron. Yours don't look so good either.
Don't feel so good either.
Well, come on. Let's walk on into Canyon Springs.
No, you walk on in if you want, Sandy. Yeah, I think you should.
I don't understand. How do you mean that?
I mean Ty Burgess isn't any better off than I am. He wasn't so far ahead. He caught the sandstorm, too.
Yeah, you can't follow no tracks now. Won't be any.
I don't need any. I know where he is, or soon will be. Morongo Pass. Hand me that canteen.
There you are.
Yeah.
Something real wrong about this, Joe.
Is it?
You ain't acting like no sheriff.
I'm not a sheriff, Sandy. I'm Jack Murdoch's older brother. And an Apache.
Mind if I ask you something?
Go ahead.
What are you planning on doing to Ty Burgess, assuming you can catch up with him?
Sure you want to know?
Yeah, real curious about that. Give me a drink, will you?
Well, Sandy, all I'm going to do is peg him outside Apache style, then run a buckskin through a rattler's tail.
Oh, Joe, come on into Canyon Springs with me.
Can't do that, Sandy.
You ever hear how come Ty Burgess got so fearful of snakes?
No.
Well, the way I hear it, he happened onto a water moccasin, curled on a bank in the sun. He looked around for a stick to kill. He picked up what seemed to be a 2-foot section of dried willow limb. Weren't another moccasin stretched out at full length?
Very interesting.
Yeah, threw it away before it had time to waken and strike.
That's too bad.
Now, don't get me wrong, Joe. I know Ty Burgess is a killer. I ain't taking his side. He did Jack in on purpose, and there's no question there. But, you know, still, there are ways and ways, and you've got to go after him. Take a warrant.
Somehow I can't do that, Sandy.
Oh, you get through with that work you're planning, you won't be sheriff no more. If I thought being sheriff was your big ambition.
Sure was, Sandy. Worked 13 years for it. Don't much feel like giving it up.
Take the warrant.
Somehow I just can't, Sandy. That 1/8 Apache in me has other ideas.
Okay, Joe. I'm going to leave you now. I'm taking the warrant on to that deputy in Canyon Springs.
Up to you, Sandy.
Yeah, but we'll both be back out as soon as possible. And I'll sure be puzzling all the way about he's going to have to arrest.
Sandy James spat in the dirt and turned from me. I watched him walk off toward Canyon Springs, taking the warrant with him. I watched him till he was gone, then turned to other things. My carbine was useless for the sand, but the holster, given my revolver good protection, that was enough. With it on my hip and the water canteen slung over my shoulder, I started the long walk through the heat of the day for the Morongo Pass. Evening was coming out, and when I saw Ty Burgess' horse at the head of the pass, like me, he'd had to kill him because of the sandstorm. And that told me I was right. Mr. Burgess was holed up there waiting. The question was, where? I scurried along the rocks real careful, knowing I had to expose myself just enough to draw his fire so I could get a line on where he was holed. Two revolver shots told me his rifle was out of commission also, and that he was hiding near the abandoned Lucky Johnson mine shaft. Happy to see you waited, Mr. Burgess.
That's all right, Sheriff, but I was about to despair.
That's so?
I was afraid that little sandstorm had changed your plans.
Not me, Mr. Burgess. I persevere.
Well, I'm sure glad, because my face still pains me where you worked it over, and my stomach will never be the same.
Now, I enjoyed that work, Mr. Burgess, but I declare what's coming I'm going to enjoy even more.
Nah, I don't think so, you mongrel Apache. You're not going to pig me out in front of no rattler.
We'll see, Mr. Burgess.
We sure will.
Twilight upsets a man shooting, doesn't it?
It might.
Of course, some men are real good at shooting at sounds. Would you be one of those?
Come on in a bit closer and find out.
Of course, we couldn't wait till daylight, Mr. Burgess. Play doggo through the night and wait for the sun. How do you feel about that?
No, I'm for settling it right now.
Fine with me. Only thing is, I got a little concern. I can't kill you if I shoot. I might just do that by accident, and that'd be a shame. I need you alive.
Your problem, Sheriff.
That's so, but I figure I can work it out. Don't forget, you're up against Indian blood.
I don't forget nothing.
That's fine. Then you must surely can remember in detail how you once picked up a water moccasin thinking it was a willow branch. And I guess you also recollect how I said I'd find the biggest rattler I could and having play with you.
Talk don't accomplish nothing.
No, it sure doesn't.
What's the matter, Sheriff? Run out of gab? Now, Come on, don't get so unsociable all of a sudden. Why, I'm most anxious to hear your honeyed voice.
Ty Burgess had a plan, I was sure. He was drawing me in, and that was all right with me, because I wanted him to make his move before it really got dark. Then suddenly went quiet. For a long, long moment, I didn't say a thing, but I knew his play was coming. Then I saw him. He was lowering himself down the mine shaft on the rawhide Rihanna, and I knew his plan. Drop down into the mine, race out through the north tunnel to the hill, and come up on me behind. I ran like blazes to the shaft to catch him just before he reached bottom, and when I got to the top of the shaft, I saw it. He was a few feet from the bottom, both his hands holding tight onto the Rihanna, his gun in his belt, and down below him, coiled to strike, was the biggest rattler I'd ever seen. Burgess looked up, saw me, looked down, saw it, and did the only thing he could. Clamped his legs together and dropped, hoping his weight and high heel boots will kill the reptile before it could strike. He missed the snake by a few inches. I put a bullet through the rat and started down to see Ty Burgess. The deputy from Canyon Springs rode up then. I figured I might as well tell him what happened, and then the three of us went down.
He's dead. Real dead, Joe.
Yeah.
When did you say all this happened, Murdoch?
Just now.
Now? That don't seem quite right. A man don't die of a snake bite so sudden-like.
No, he doesn't. Come here. Take a look at this rattler. Oh,
I guess you can forget that 1/8 Apache business and go back to the matter of being sheriff once more.
Yeah, I can do that, Sandy. Fact is, I'd be pleased to. They say I made a pretty good sheriff after that, and I'm glad I had a witness or two to what had happened. You see, Mr. Ty Burgess didn't die a snake bite at all. He died of fright, scared to eternity by a rattler that had been dead a week.
You are standing on an unfinished roadbed somewhere in Mexico. It is night, and a drunken, murderous foreman is forcing you to dig till you drop. The .45 in his hand means that for you there can be no escape.
This episode of Escape, broadcast date of June 28, 1953, is one of the lost episodes. The recording of that broadcast is missing.
You've been listening to American Radio Theater's recreation of Escape, 1/8 Apache. It was directed by Paul Fable. Christopher Conrad was the Escape announcer, a role his dad, William Conrad, recorded for Escape. Cliff Carpenter was Joe Murdoch. Kevin O'Morrison was Ty Burgess, with Steph Cardona as Ed, Ivan Curry as Sid and the announcer, Dave Parker as Sandy the deputy, and Robert Perks as the barkeep. Live sound effects by Pat McNally and Penny Swanberg. I'm Joy Jackson. This is ART, the American Radio Theater. We'll return to treasures old and new from ART in just a moment. But first...
Whoa! Upside down!
Quit playing that blasted harmonica! We've been riding together for 2 weeks, and you just keep playing that darn thing like it was the only thing you could think of to do. Anybody ever tell you that you play good?
No.
That's because you don't. Do you know any other songs besides Camptown Races?
No.
You can't half play that. Is your aim to drive everybody around you crazy?
No.
Well, body wouldn't know it.
I seen you hiding that MP3 player like you don't think anybody would notice. Well, I notice. Especially with those wires coming out of your ears.
At least with my earplugs, you don't have to listen to it. What you need is a silent harmonica.
Kind of defeats the purpose. What are you listening to all the time?
Audio drama.
Audio what?
Audio drama. You know, like old-time radio. Now, this right now is the American Radio Theater, ART.
I don't believe it. I bet you listen to it on the interwebs, too.
That's where I get my podcasts. www.AmericanRadioTheater.org.
I don't that beat all. A cowboy who listens to old-timey radio stuff on the new-timey interwebs.
What I do with my own ears is my business and none of yours.
You one of those sensitive cowboys?
That's it. You're gonna get it.
You'll find I give as good as I get.
We return to treasures, old and new, from ART. G.I. Jive was a radio show sent out by shortwave during World War II. The show starred disc jockey G.I. Jill, who was Martha Wilkerson. She recorded the show 6 days a week, and it was broadcast over shortwave for Africa and parts of Europe. It was also transcribed onto discs and then sent to the Pacific Theater, kind of a mosquito network. Let's listen to what G.I. Jill has to play.
Hi, fellas. This is G.I. Jill with G.I. Jive. I don't know what time it is where you are, but here it's time to roll out the old AEF jukebox and start her spinning. Sending out tunes to you men everywhere. For the music making in the hands of Lionel Hampton, Harry James, Tommy Dorsey, and Bunny Berrigan. And first off, one of the Berrigan classics, High Society.
Thank you.
new record on me. Till today, I didn't know that Lionel Hampton had ever recorded the Muskrat Ramble, but sure enough, it's getting set to spin now. With a few special turns to Sergeant Becker Shook at APO 72, and of course to all you Lionel Hampton men. Playing with a hamp are a group of the best musicians, so get on the beam, fellas, with the Muskrat Ramble. Jive, fellas, you name 'em, we play 'em. And this is a gal that comes around, Jill, with two down and two to go. Before the next tune, a brief word about letters. If you think of it, why, you mention the name of your hometown when you write. If you do, I get a chance to give it a plug when I play your request, and for all you know, there's a guy from your hometown right around the corner from you, so mention it if you think of it, huh? Yep, same address, Jill, care of G.I. Jive, Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. Now the next tune, and about 50 requests for it, which means I can't possibly call them off, but you fellas that asked for Stardust, here it is, Tommy Dorsey is the band.
Melody haunts my reverie, and I am once again with you.
When our love was new,
and each kiss an inspiration.
But that was long ago. My console.
nightingale told its fairy tale of paradise where roses grew. Though I dream in vain, in my heart it always will be. My stardust melody, the memory of love's
and time to holler for Paul Walsh and the crew of a certain gasoline tanker and Corporal Collins Foster, Jr. at APO 324. Their letters dealt with Harry James, and here's that great James band with Strictly Instrumental. Bunny Berrigan and his orchestra.
Thank you.
that jiving by Bunny Berrigan was for Seaman First Class George Benetz of a certain CBMU. Now, all of you who like Bing and the Andrews sisters, stand by. I'll bet that includes nearly everyone. Let's see, requesters on this include Seaman Second Class Cecil Betterton, Nick Martinet at APO 719, Spook, Gill, Pop, Swede, Nels, Seal Oil, Thad, and Jack at APO 947, Boatswain's Mate Wayne Strasser and the Coast Guard. Okay, here's Bing and the Andrews sisters with Don't Fence Me In.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze and listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in.
Just turn me loose, let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western sky. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise.
I want to ride to the rim where the west commences and gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. And I can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in.
Lots of land under starry skies. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze and listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in.
Just turn me loose, let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western sky.
On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences and gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. And I can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in.
No.
Papa, don't you fence me in.
Hey, here's a song that really goes way back when. Gosh knows when it first came out, but it's been around for a long time. The Pied Pipers recorded it recently, and it's been requested by Corporal Lee Hunter and the men at APO 322. And I'd also like to dedicate it to Private A.L. Lucere and all the fellows at APO 251. The Pied Pipers singing Cuddle Up a Little Closer. the lecture I mentioned at the beginning of the program. Well, it really isn't a lecture. It's not even a speech. It's just a little plug for V-mail. When you send in those record requests, if you think of it, use V-mail, huh? It's really fast, and the sooner I get your letter, the sooner you'll hear your record. Now, back to the jukebox and a tune by Tony Pastor and his orchestra. Blues. Not St. Louis blues, not Beale Street blues, not blues in the night, just blues. Convincing you that the name of that was just Blues, I see that it was Blues My Naughty Sweetie Gives to Me. Oh, well. That's all there is for now, fellas. Meet me at the jukebox about this time tomorrow, huh? Until then, this is your G.I. Gal Jill saying good morning to some of you, good afternoon to some more of you, and to the rest of you, good night.
Gee, that's all the time I've got for today. Please stop by ART's website, www.americanradiotheater.org, for more of our podcasts. We put up a new one every month. Oh, and an advanced heads up for the next marathon, right here on radiooutofthepast.org in the Fred Bertelsen Room. It's on August 27th, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern to 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern. 12 hours of superb old-time radio shows. Hey, see you next time.